just want to take a couple of minutes and do some acknowledgments. This afternoon, we are joined by a few of our board members. Our treasurer, Omar Daghestani, is here. He is here because I just talked to him. Oh, okay. Like, I know I'm not imagining it because I just talked to him. Trish Rooney is here. Lori Healy is here. And our CEO, Dan Gibbons. Someone just told Dan he's got to work a little bit harder on getting our attendance up. So I thought that was kind of cute. Quickly, I want to run through our table of sponsors, our tables of sponsors, and just a couple of acknowledgments. I'll go through this, and then we can do a round of applause for everyone. We appreciate everyone's contributions and support of the City Club of Chicago. This is your club, and we acknowledge the fact that you all take the time to be with us. Onyx Architectural and Engineering Services, SP Murphy, BMO Bank, Chicago Federation of Labor, Pace Suburban Bus, RTA, Uber, White & Company, Stiefel, Fifth Third, Neckritz Amdor Anderson Group, Christopher B. Burke Engineering, and Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. Thank you all so much. We appreciate you. I just want to do a few acknowledgments, and then we will call everyone up to the stage. We have Comptroller Susana Mendoza in the house with us today. Mayor Rodney Craig. Mayor Jeff Schilke. Where is he? Oh. Mayor Kathy Aducci. Commissioner Rachel Arfa. Mayor Rory Hoskins. Dory McWhorter of YMCA. Jack Lavin, Chamber of Commerce. And Tom Cutterick from the Civic Committee. Sorry about that. We've got a few committees and boards and organizations in Chicago, so pardon me if I slip on one or two. At this time, Dan, where are you? Oh, okay. It's hard, really hard to see with these lights, you all. Are we going straight to Senator Dillard? Okay. He is always Senator Dillard to me, so if I don't refer to him as Kirk, please forgive me. Point of privilege, I will say that he did attend Western Illinois a few years before me, but at this time, we'd like to bring up our longtime friend, and I don't know how many speeches he's made. I don't know how many times he's been here, but it is time for the man of the hour.
For some of you, it may have been too many speeches, so good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. Like the Tony Preckwinkle, welcome. Good afternoon. Thank you. And Jackie, you and I go back a long ways, and I want to thank everybody here at the City Club for hosting this discussion about the future of public transit at this critical moment. And it is a critical moment in mass transit's future. It's great to see you all here. I'm a longtime member of this club and believe its role is critical to the ongoing civic dialogue of our region. And this is a great place to come to tackle and begin to tackle problems that are vibrant and as complex as those facing Chicago, as well as the state of Illinois and our nation. I'm thrilled to have and be joined by so many of my great board members, and they are great. They come from various places and opinions and experiences on the RTA. But I'm lucky today to have Director Bill Colson, who is down here. Nora K. Ryan, a great new addition by the mayor to our board at the RTA. Tom Kotarek, who many of you know from his Civic Federation duties, Natasha Jenkins, another great new addition, Michael Lewis, and John Yeohan, who has been added by President Preckwinkle to our board, and many of you will remember his great work as the county's transportation director or superintendent. I want to thank the elected leaders that are here. I saw many of the mayors that are here. I also want to acknowledge my longtime friend former seatmate in the State Senate, great county board chair of my county, DuPage County, Dan Cronin is here, along with the former mayor of Elmhurst, Tom Marcucci. Tom says, eat canela bread. So he works for that wonderful family. Last but not least, I want to acknowledge Leanne Redden, my executive director. Also want to thank the staff of the RTA. Leanne has worked across our region in many different transformational transportation jobs or projects. She was the planning director in Schaumburg. She's a great graduate of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. She worked at the Illinois Tollway, has led our transit system. And next year, she will become the chair of the American Public Transportation Association, recognized by her peers throughout the United States as the finest, the best of the best of transit employees. And as any of you have ever listened to her accent, she is also internationally involved in international transportation. And we do take and commiserate with our colleagues throughout the world, literally throughout the world, on mass transit issues on a daily basis. He's not here today, but I want to thank President Dorval Carter of the CTA for his years of service. We have benefited from his service, and I wish him all the best at his future work and its critical work at St. Anthony's Hospital, where he's been on the board and his father served at that institution or hospital for decades. And I told Dorval on a phone call the other day, I'll wave to him when my Metro train goes blowing past St. Anthony's Hospital every day. Last but not least, most importantly, I want to acknowledge my wife, Stephanie, who's here today, who's been at my side not only on trains and buses for 25-plus years, but I kidded Mayor Emanuel when we opened the new, brilliant, beautiful Wilson Avenue station that I used to ride out of this station. He goes, "You used to ride in Uptown out of here?" And I said, "Yeah, my wife lived right over here." And I said, not only when I rode it, I knew its dire condition in need of improvement because I could look through the boards. Joe Moore, Alderman Moore, I could look through the boards and see the street below. So greatly improved the station, but I wrote it long before we ever improved it, thanks to my wife. I also really am delighted that my daughter, Ava, who is a student at Indiana University, is between semesters, and she can join me today. She's a management major at Indiana, and Ava, you know, study hard, because we sure could use your management skills in mass transit in the future. But thank you for being here, sweetheart. As a lifelong, literally from my third day of life on the CTA with my mother going to a pediatrician, I'm thrilled. I'm a lifelong rider of Metra and the CTA to present the RTA's vision for the future of our transit system. With the 2025 legislative session in Springfield now underway, we are at a critical moment where we must think big. Big to fix the chronic underfunding and disjointed governance that have plagued our transit system for too long. There is no time to delay because the consequences of inaction are dire. We need a legislative solution by the end of the legislature session, which is the end of May, around Memorial Day. The federal relief funds that have kept Chicago's buses and trains operating since the early stages of the pandemic are going to run out early next year, and we are creating, or will have created, when those funds run out, a budget gap of about $770 million annually. That's what we call the fiscal cliff. That's 20% of the operating budget of mass transit. The legislature has to act by the end of this session in May to increase state investment and to allow the RTA to collect additional revenues locally, or our riders will need to prepare for severe severe service cuts and fare increases. According to RTA analysis, leaving a 20% hole in the regional operating budget would require the CTA Metra and Pace to cut service by 40%. If service is cut to this degree, buses in the city will have a 25-minute headway for what used to be 15 minutes, and we would have to see the end of 24-hour service. Most major cities in the world don't have 24-hour service like we do here. In the suburbs, a 45-minute headway for Melinda Metzger's Pace could become nearly an hour between buses. A Metra line that ran 90 trains a day could be cut down to 50. The double-digit dip in ridership growth that the CTA and Metra have fought to achieve, ridership increase that they've achieved over the last couple of years would come to a screeching halt. And we don't have 12% increases in ridership without a lot of innovation and a lot of hard work. We still move 1.2 million riders a day in this region. Operators that have been recruited to learn how to operate trains and buses, some of those folks would have to be laid off, and riders would start to abandon the system as we would have to increase fares. And because of long waits and overcrowding, because of less service and less trains. And so it would become less useful for some of these riders to continue to use our services. A 40% cut to service would add tens of thousands of cars to our already congested roadways. Can you imagine the L, which may bring 50,000 riders a day into the Central Business District, if just 10,000 of those people decided they were going to drive? We would have longer wait times and overcrowding, but we would need 20 extra lanes of expressway just to get those people here. And we're not talking about delays like we see bumper to bumper. We're literally talking gridlock. The extraordinary economic and environmental aspects of our mass transit system, cleaner air, as our roads become more clogged, businesses won't be able, Jack Lavin, to get their workers to places of work. Our labor force would suffer. Our customers, their customers would dissipate, and our air would get dirtier, and our overall region would become less desirable to work or live in. But it doesn't have to be this way, folks. It doesn't have to be this way. At your seats or the QR code on the screen, there is a document laying out the RTA's vision for a transit system that just doesn't avert disaster, but is transformed in ways that benefit everyone, regardless of where you live or what mode of transportation you may take. It's time for Chicago's regional transit system to take its place among the world's best by investing in better service system-wide. If legislators increase state investment in operations and allow us to collect revenue locally totaling $1.5 billion, along with the reforms I'm going to outline here today, the RTA will be stronger. Our commitment to you is simple: more frequent service for everybody everywhere. This service will be fully integrated and it will be coordinated, allowing riders to seamlessly transfer across the system regardless of whether they take CTA, Metra, or Pace. We envision a future where service is so frequent and reliable that people can leave their homes without checking a schedule or an app, knowing that the next bus or train will arrive shortly and get them to their destination on time. Where riders use one app to pay their fare and seamlessly transfer across operators. Where buses travel faster in dedicated lanes with priority traffic signaling like ambulances or emergency vehicles have, and on the region's busiest routes, offer riders a really convenient, fast way to bypass traffic. And where all of us experience less congested roads, we have cleaner air, and a much more vibrant economy. Independent agencies and advocates, not just the RTA, agree that $1.5 billion annually to transform the transit system and deliver more frequent service everywhere is the key number. But we're not asking for a blank check or a bailout. These experts agree that our region has been radically historically underfunded for decades. Creating a system that runs so lean that on every national survey, Chicago always has the lowest operating cost per mile in the country. Now, we don't expect, and there's not any of our downstate friends here, but I don't expect downstate residents who don't use the system to foot this bill. The people of northeastern Illinois, our six-county regional area, via sales taxes and fares, we basically self-suffice ourselves to run our transit system. But today, the state of Illinois out of Springfield and the comptrollers here, it's not her fault, contributes the least amount to transit operations of any state. 17% of our operating costs come from Springfield, compared to 28% in New York, 44% in Boston, and 50% in Philadelphia. And Susanna, thanks for getting our payment schedule for what you do owe us from Springfield on time. We deeply appreciate it. One example of where the state needs to better meet its obligation is the funding. Let me give you an example of ADA paratransit, transportation for people with disabilities. These are free and reduced fare. It's a free and reduced fare program. In 2024, the state reimbursed us for this $250 million cost, a measly $9 million. So that's one place that we have to have Springfield step up and fund the mandates it puts on us. With $1.5 billion in new funding, unlocking service increases of 40%, and a strengthened regional authority at the RTA, we can free up Melinda and whoever will replace Dorville Carter and Jim Derwinski of Metra to do what they do best, and that's operate systems pretty well. The RTA will set service standards in conjunction with them that assures that every rider across our systems are going to see much more frequent service. $1.5 billion in annual funding would allow a strengthened RTA to oversee regional minimum fare standards that can cut customer wait times for a train or a bus by as much as 50%. Trains in the city will run every 5 to 10 minutes on the L every day with better service in midday evenings, especially the evening rush, and will continue to be able to run overnight, like many cities don't provide today. In the city and the suburbs, Metra's evolving rail service, and they've been very innovative with more and more regional trains, would run 30 minutes apart on selected routes. So that train sets, as we call them, trains 90 a day on some lines could go to 120 trains a day. This means reducing midday gaps in services, and obviously we would increase weekend service and night service as well. With sustainable funding, a stronger RTA, and commitment from local and county governments of transportation, our bus service would be transformed fundamentally. With rapid bus service every 10 minutes or less in the city and 15 to 20 minutes in the suburbs. Melinda Metzger's innovations at PACE with the Pulse, and for you Northwest suburban mayors, and Bus on Shoulder has been transformative. Today we are last among our peers in miles of dedicated bus lanes. So speed is critical to getting people to ride the CTA. We're dead last in America in the number of bus rapid transit lines we have. Let me once again espouse that we are rebuilding North Lakeshore Drive, a 50-year project. And we are not adding a bus rapid transit line to the proposed plans that are out there. That line moves that route takes 75 CTA bus riders a day up and down it, and we need more bus rapid transit routes on our busiest routes. Not every route can have that kind of level of service, but we do propose that bus service and time, even on our regular routes, will be greatly diminished in terms of waiting time. To me, folks, frequency is freedom. It is the freedom to walk to a transit stop or a station and trust that a bus or train is going to be there shortly to take you where you need to go in a way that you know you will be on time. More reliable and frequent service will increase ridership, and it also stretches our operating dollars for those of you who are in the business world, and it saves time and money while opening new possibilities for travel and connection across the region. Importantly, better transit benefits non-riders, too. For every dollar invested in mass transit, historically the return is $4 in other return on investment activity. Everybody benefits. There's nothing, not even education, that has a 4-to-1 return on dollars invested like mass transit. A report this month, just to let everybody know in this room what we already know, we're the second most congested traffic city in the world, But as more people choose transit over driving because it makes economic sense and is more convenient, that will deteriorate, and we will fall farther down on the delays, some 100 hours a year we all sit in traffic on the Eisenhower and the Edens and the Kennedy. I often say, and I was just down on the south side for the signing of the historic Red Line extension on Friday, transit's the economic equalizer. I think we can all agree our region needs to do more to bring service to underutilized or areas that have been neglected historically by our city. Now reform. That's a lot that's been in the news a lot. There's a lot of talk about reform. As a former state senator, I agree with Governor Pritzker and legislative leaders who have said, and Jack Lavin, any new funding or revenue must come from reforms. And we must make sure that we spend any new money efficiently and in ways that benefit riders everywhere, every one of our six counties. The RTA is proposing a historic restructuring of the region's transit governance to maximize the impact that this hopeful new funding will have and ensure all riders can access a reliable and integrated transit network. Rather than distributing key responsibilities across three agencies, the RTA proposes that this reform would result in one agency, the RTA, being accountable to riders and legislators on the most important issues, fares, service quality, and capital investment. State law currently does not empower my colleagues or us at the RTA and actually prohibits us from doing many things. We are not allowed to be involved in fares. You'll wonder why there's not a one fare app or a regional pass. Well, that's why. Placing these responsibilities with the RTA will improve riders' experience and boost accountability across our transportation network. A stronger RTA will allow CTA, Metra, and PACE to focus on what they do best, that's day-to-day operations, and they won't have to be bothered with some of the things the RTA is willing to take on. A strengthened RTA would set one regional fare policy and develop a universal fare payment app and a rider hub for all fare and customer service issues, ensuring riders have a simple, easy-to-understand fare and integrated information at stops and stations. For example, in addition to getting automated and accurate arrival times for your station, you're going to get information about where the nearest bus route is, or if you're at a bus route, where the nearest Metro train is, regardless of who operates them. A strengthened RTA would establish transit service and standards that would allow everybody to better understand the frequency and the scope of transit that should be available in their communities. Four times a year, the RTA will call in the CTA, Metra, and PACE. We're going to work with them, and they're going to be required to report to the RTA on the level of service they are providing to ensure it's meeting the standards that we have been set out, or we have set. If the operator is not meeting those standards, the RTA board would require improvement before giving them any new money, and we'll have incentives for them to meet those with extra money and extra services if they so exceed what they're supposed to do. If needed, this is really cool. I was sitting next to the gentleman from Uber. If needed, we're going to have a contract for new routes and services that will fill gaps in our network. In that booklet you have, and the graphics are really, really cool, if we have to cancel a bus or a train, you would be given an app and a voucher to take Uber or Lyft or a rideshare, and it would pop up A lot of people don't have money to take taxis or Ubers. If you're on a train or a bus and we cancel it, you'd get an app that would give you the voucher to take Uber or Lyft to where you're going. So this would mean that on-demand services can be used to fill that last mile or late-night gap. And these vouchers would, I think, be incredibly transformative for people who rely on transit when we cancel routes. A strengthened RTA would evaluate all major capital projects and distribute funding based on scoring and levels of necessity, key metrics, folks, like accessibility, job access, and climate impact would go into our approval of capital projects throughout the region with great coordination and no duplication. A strengthened RTA would lead planning projects that cross operators and geographic boundaries, which are sometimes a significant impediment to getting those great federal grants that Dorval Carter was so good at. They want to see cooperation in Washington among all our operators, and a unified RTA would give us that ability to generate more federal monies. And then last but not least, we want to be given the authority to coordinate with mayors and local governments and sometimes private developers in the charge of fee for transit-oriented development around our stations, generating money but also great accessible and affordable housing for residents in certain places. So let me get to the 800-pound whatever in the room, safety. The reforms I just mentioned are critical to delivering a system that our residents deserve, but I can't solve one issue that's out there all by myself, and that's the perception that too often the reality is using transit is not safe. I believe and I know that every single leader in this room and everybody involved in this area believes that we all deserve to feel safe and be safe on transit. This is a hard problem to solve because of the size and breadth of our system and societal issues like mental health and other issues that are facing society in general. But we can and we're going to do better. The more frequent service I have described helps relieve one safety concern we have heard from riders. On parts of the transit trip where riders report to us at the RTA, they feel most insecure is waiting at the bus stop or waiting on the L platform. If you have more frequent service everywhere, all riders are going to experience shorter and more predictable wait times and thus safer trips. But shortening wait times isn't going to solve the problem of safety altogether. To further address this issue, the RTA is committed to working with local authorities to better enhance personal safety and security on public transit. This includes stronger partnerships between transit agencies and local officials to increase law enforcement presence on our system. About a year ago, we had a big safety summit at the RTA, had operators from other cities in here, and we had a really excellent, and we've implemented many of these issues in bringing problem solvers together to stay focused on safety. We can be strategic, we can make law enforcement this priority, but we can do it compassionately and simultaneously with stricter, tougher law enforcement. But we all have to work together to achieve this. But safety is a paramount concern. Finally, the reform conclusions and efficiencies. The funding and reform I've just told you about has to come with the ability of the RTA to track progress. And enforcement mechanisms we don't have today, we have to have, and allow us to institute changes and improvements when needed. The new governance structure will result in increased efficiencies and cost savings for riders and taxpayers. We estimate that placing key system-wide responsibilities under the RTA, along with common sense, such as building maintenance and leasing and joint purchasing agreements, would save the region $50 million annually. Additionally, riders who use the system do have a contribution to make, especially if they're getting better and more frequent services. And we believe over time, and this is really being driven by inflation, a 10% system-wide fare increase to account for inflation, rising operating costs, costs generated, should also produce a $50 million savings, or $50 million in new revenues. Coupled with our savings, that's $100 million that's out there to help efficiencies system-wide, as I call it. And not just have a fare increase. For those who are indigent and need our help the most, we're going to ask the legislature to expand our access program for reduced fares that Metra so successfully has innovated over the last year. We want to expand the access program for poor and indigent individuals to include CTA and PACE. So you may have some fare increases, but the lower income folks will actually see a reduced fare. Combined, this efficiency, again, will generate about $100 million for our system, including the fare increases that will come over time as service improves. To underscore this commitment, the RTA will write into the law and statute that none of this new money can be used for bureaucrats or personnel. It all has to go to improved service. Our plan is to spend the additional money on what matters most. That's more buses, more trains, and more service. So, my conclusion, and a call to action to everybody that's within the sound of my voice. The vision we're sharing today is a promise to every rider in the Chicago region. It will provide the necessary funding and the authority. The RTA will lead. Me and my board and my staff are ready to lead in collaboration, close collaboration. We have it today. It's even going to be closer with the CTA, Metra, and PACE. This will be a transformational, fundamental change to improve how we move, how we connect, and how we live. We look forward to sharing and hearing feedback on the vision and conversations with riders. We talk to them all the time, stakeholders, and elected officials in the coming months. I have tremendous confidence in the legislators that have stepped up and been assigned to this by the leaders of the legislature. They are among the best of the best legislators. I don't want to name any of them because I don't want to leave anyone out. But the Cam Buckners and the Evadina Delgados and Brad Stevens and Don DeWitt. Don, you're here today, are you not? Senator DeWitt, in the back, always overseeing everything. Senator Don DeWitt, former mayor, but also, more importantly, a former member of the RTA. And Mary Beth Canty, Representative Canty, is also a leader in the transportation field. She used to be a member of our board. I don't want to leave anybody out. The legislators have stepped up, and they are the best of the best working on this. We look forward to sharing and hearing your feedback and the visions on conversation. And I have great confidence that we are fortunate that we're going to improve this system forever in the Chicago area. Everybody in this room in this region has a role to play to make sure that our vision becomes reality. Whether you agree with me or not, and some of you may not agree with me, your legislators and the governor need to hear from you, and they need to hear your voice and thoughts on this. On February 11th, we're going to hold our sixth meeting of the RTA's Transit is the Answer Coalition. This coalition of riders and advocates and academics and leaders has been essential in shaping this vision I talk about today. And our next meeting is going to focus on legislative strategy for those of you who are here who have an interest in this. Feedback on our proposal and also how we can get the legislators to get this done. These meetings are vital. They're open to the public, and you can register at rtachicago.org or use the QR code behind me. Even if you can't attend, stay engaged. Talk to your legislators. Talk to your local officials. Talk to us. So, if you need some motivation, just spend a moment imagining the two worlds that I've sort of outlined for you today, a region that has missed the opportunity to transform transit, that has 40% less buses and trains operating, where ridership is falling, and the result is skyrocketing congestion, employers not being able to get employees or customers to their stores or factories, and the result will be less economic growth. Again, a 4-to-1 return on mass transit investment. Our region has found on all occasions the political courage most times to tackle decades-long problems. We have and can have more frequent and reliable service everywhere, and where travel is seamless between operators and where issues facing the system are dealt with in a timely and accountable manner is the way to go. I'm an optimist by nature. Many of you have known me for a long time, like Jackie, and I'm a great believer in not just mass transit as a fundamental backbone of our city and the surrounding villages, but I'm a believer in our residents and the leaders and the business and labor leaders we have to seize this opportunity and build a better future. On my conference table, everybody that the RTA knows that I have Daniel Burnham's plan. It's there as a reminder every day to think big, as I said at the outset, and make no small plans. And these are no small plans. If you've ever heard me speak in conclusion on this topic, you've heard me say that where transit goes, the economy and communities grow. I say it because it's true. And where transit is improved and expanded, ridership grows and access to jobs and opportunity grows, and we will all reap its benefits. So I hope you'll join with us in working together to transform public transit. I'm eager to answer any questions that the now voice challenge Dan Gibbons has for me over here. And stay in touch, folks. Thank you for letting us at the RTA share our vision.
Excuse my voice. I lost it on the L platform on the way over. How about in the center?
Okay.
Dan, is that all right?
Am I on? Can you hear me?
Are you on?
Good. Live. Hopefully you didn't lose your voice screaming, "Where's my train?"
He's a very
good. And we're inviting Leanne Rutten to join. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So many questions from so many great questions that I'm going to get right into. I have some of my own, but then we've got submitted questions. If anyone has a burning question, you can still send it up. But I get the feeling we're going to run out of time. So let's get right to it. And thank you for answering a whole bunch of my questions.
Good.
Already, like about the apps and the fare cards. And there's plenty here with a very interesting audience. But we do understand, I mean, we have City Club, we had a program on the downtown revitalization yesterday. We have public safety programs all the time. We have education. I mean, you name it. Every one of these require funding. It's all about funding. Why should transit be at the top of that list?
I'll start. 4-to-1 return on investment. And we are also, and I have spent a lot of time with the mayor lately, and I've always spent time with teachers. We are Chicago's school bus as well. You know, out in Elmhurst, Mayor Marcucci, you've got yellow school buses that take people to York High School. In Chicago, whether you go to the Chicago Public Schools or St. Ignatius or any place, or DePaul University like me, you take the CTA. So the CTA is your yellow school bus. And I'm all for funding education, but nobody has a 4-to-1 return on investment. And again, Dan, 1.2 million riders today. We used to be about 1.8 million, 1.6 million. That's a sixth. I tell my downstate colleagues, that's a sixth of the state's population is riding on the, you know, the RTA system each day. And I didn't say it, but about 3/4 of the state's treasury now comes, Comptroller Mendoza, from the 6-county metropolitan area. So a strengthened RTA with the better economic improvements we can have here helps schools in Pinckneyville and Peoria.
So one of your slides, you did mention the fiscal cliff. I feel like we hear that as often as we hear that, you know, government shut down, I don't know, every 2 months, 3 months. This kind of seems... This seems a little more real. Obviously, the post-pandemic funding is going to be running out. But how real is this, and how devastating might it be if we don't make some of these investments.
I get the money question. Okay. It is real. I mean, the money, it's well documented when we run out of money. And yes, the money starts running out in 2026, but the urgency is now, simply because by state statute, we have to have regional balanced transit budgets. So we need funding certainty by the end of this legislative session so us and the three service boards can actually begin planning their budgets for 2026. What year are we in? I have to say that. 26. And the chairman sort of touched on it, that if we're at this sort of decision point, we can choose to invest and sort of double down and leverage the momentum, the growth that we've had, double-digit ridership growth across the three operators for the last 3 years. Or if we choose not to invest, we go in the complete opposite direction of this downward spiral of service cuts and fare increases, and it just keeps compounding upon each other. If we don't have that funding certainty by May, we have to plan for those budget cuts and service increases. Service decreases, I should say. And it's just dire. So any of those benefits that the chairman sort of articulated in that transformative vision have no opportunity to actually come to fruition. And I think as a region, beyond sort of the education, but it's an underpinning to any modern society, public transportation is almost a fundamental right for a good economy and a good region. And I think that that's why we're really sounding that alarm bell now, because it has to be resolved this legislative cycle.
You know, and Dan, one other comment, and I don't know if I mentioned, Senator Ram Vilavavalam has hosted ad nauseum hearings over the summer, six of them, some 30 hours of testing. But we cannot just flip a switch and make these reductions. We have federal government requirements that allow us to, and we have to jump through hoops, so to speak, to be able to make some of these budget cuts. So, you know, I'm a former legislator. I'm a procrastinator, as my wife will tell you, sometimes too much. But you can't procrastinate because we have federal requirements that take time. Before we run out of money completely in 2026, that we must answer to the federal government for.
So how do you get this done? I mean, let's be practical. We're sounding alarms, like you said. So is everyone else, right? There's a lack of funding for all sorts of issues. Legislators need to make decisions. Susan Mendoza can't just open up the checkbook as much as we'd love her to. How does it practically happen, and can this happen? Is this bold vision realistic?
Well, I think if nothing good has come from this, is people now do realize mass transit is critical. That hasn't always been the case. I served in the legislature for quite a while, and sometimes I don't think people realized how critical mass transit is. I think they now realize it. But this is a top priority. We're asking for, you know, innovation among the legislative leaders. Some of it could be to embolden and empower the RTA to look for local sources here. So maybe the legislators like Senator DeWitt don't actually have to decide all of the revenue options that are there, but they're going to have to come up with some because 1.2 million riders a day depend on this, and they're going to have to make some very, very difficult decisions. And we're not asking it all to come from Springfield. We're asking the riders, when their service improves, to do more, and we'll get it done. We figured out how to get it done before, but I would submit that the highest priority in Springfield, aside from Susanna trying to figure out where the $3 billion budget hole that they have is going to be filled, is the RTA.
And if I can just add, I think we're delivering on what's been asked of us. We've been asked to provide what is the vision for transit for the future, which the chairman has talked about today. But all of that is really the product of years' worth of work from the RTA staff across our entire region. And it's hearing from riders, stakeholders, advocates, taxpayers, community leaders, to help us create that vision. And we've heard loudly and clearly, too, it's not just about a vision. It's about delivering reforms, and those reforms are very specific and very rider-centric, very rider-focused. We're not just proposing reform for the sake of reform. It's really meant to be sort of not this broad sweep of let's just change everything. It's very intentional, very focused on trying to deliver those outcomes, which we know have been pain points for riders across our region. So it's a commitment of this sort of full package. It's kind of connecting those dots between here's the vision, here's what it'll cost, but here's what you get for that. And I think with those reforms and empowering the RTA, freeing up, unburdening the three operators to do the things that they do best to deliver those services, I think that this is sort of a visionary package for the future that really can deliver what the taxpayers and the riders of this region deserve.
It's nice to hear that you're talking to the riders. I mean, some might take that for granted. When you're talking with riders and users, what are you hearing? Actually, and this could lead into what I think Bob Dion has a question that's obviously you mentioned the recent news and the traffic that top of the list for in the country. But Bob Dion mentioned, what is the biggest hurdle in getting people out of their cars and back to using public transit?
I think frequency and reliability. People want frequency. They want to know that you're going to get in 25 minutes from Western Springs to downtown Chicago, if that's where you're going, or if you want to go see your grandmother out in Aurora, you're going to get there. So frequency is the big thing. I mentioned, you know, and I'm very always cautious where I mention it, but they also want to be safe. And I'm not one that, you know, doesn't understand safety is a big concern. I hear it with my employees all the time. I'm at a big law firm downtown, and there's not a week that doesn't go by when one of my employees doesn't give me some story about what happened to him on the Brown Line, Blue Line, the number 9 bus. But it's frequency and reliability. That's the big thing to get them out of their car.
And I think the collection of that sort of integration of services, too. So it's across the three service boards. So it's seamless in terms of how you plan your trip, how you pay for your trip, how you actually ride. It's irrelevant as what who's driving that bus or that train, who's that service provider. It shouldn't matter. And that's, I think, the vision that we're trying to. And with that reform agenda with the monies really could allow this region to deliver that.
And I'll give you one more, and it kind of gets lost here. I used to, when times were good, I would say you can save if you dump the pump. If you're a two-car family, mm-hmm. and you get rid of one, if you take transit daily to your place of employment instead of driving, the average savings is $12,000 a year. You know, we have high real estate taxes in metropolitan Chicago. That $12,000 will help mitigate high property taxes any day.
Sure. You mentioned the different agencies that exist now, and it shouldn't matter who's driving the bus or whose name is posted there. But it does, right? I mean, these are three organizations. They have three boards. They have three budget lines, more than that. How is this going to work with these entities who may get, I don't know what you want to call it, maybe I'll ask you that. What's happening here? Are we breaking up other entities? Are we combining? Are we condensing? Are we? What's going to happen with...
Thanks. No, we're not proposing. I mean, if the legislature wants to change the structure of our board, they did it in 2008, or any of the service boards, I think that's a conversation for the legislators and the appointing authorities of this region. I'm personally agnostic. I'll, you know, report to whoever and deliver on what we're expected to deliver. But I think that the important part is that we are thinking about more monies coming into the region, and then the RTA really engaging with the three service boards in a more constructive way on the front end of conversation. A lot of the work that we end up doing is kind of at the back end of sort of budget planning and things like that. And so not trying to... The reality is, even if we had, you know, if, with the three boards that we have, the three operators we have, there's still three very different kinds of operations. That's never going to change, right? So we have three very different market profiles serving a very broad and diverse region. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think what we're trying to do is put forward a vision that is very much outcome focused, to your point about sort of the pain points that riders have been telling us about, and driving answers and solutions that allow those burdens and those pain points to go away. So thinking about what is a regional fair payment system, what is better integrations of services, how can the RTA with the monies, and as we talked about for the example of the service standards planning, and I don't mean to get too weedy, but I think it's a good example, that we work with the service boards on the front end to sort of define what those expectations of levels of service are across our region. So what you provide in the downtown urban area with CTA is going to be a different level of service that's going to happen in the McHenry counties in the Pace suburban area. But if we, on the front end, define what that looks like, everybody knows, taxpayers, riders, and the operators know what that looks like on the front end. Then we fund accordingly. Again, it's predicated on having the additional funding. But you fund that accordingly, and then they provide that level of service. Everybody kind of has that baseline and knows what those expectations are, what we're working towards. And then asking the service boards to come in every quarter. We do this on the financial side of things, but sort of upping the ante in terms of that accountability, but that transparency, that burden now sort of falls to the RTA to make sure that it's being sort of delivered and holding everybody accountable. And as the chairman said, if there is a problem, it can be, you know, there can be earlier intervention, both in terms of support, but also finding ways to fix it. And then, you know, the final stick could be that no new monies are going to flow unless some of this stuff gets fixed. And so I think those combination of those elements really are the transformative way of doing things. That is certainly not the way things happen now.
Great. Well, a specific question. While we're still on funding, this comes from Stephen Ranks from American Surveying and Engineering. Any thoughts on the Illinois Tollway providing funds? I think there was a recent article in Cranes about this.
As a former elected official, I'm glad I don't have to make the funding choices that are out there. So we don't, at the RTA, we're agnostic. We just know we have a need for $1.5 billion of a variety of different sources, including our $50 million and or $100 million in efficiencies. No, we don't have any call for anything. That's up to people who's at a higher pay grade than me, the legislature and the governor.
You had mentioned last mile a bit. I'd like to dive in a little more on that. Aaron Foley, actually from Lyme, asks if you can speak to how shared micromobility, such as e-bikes and e-scooters, can be used to expand the RTA's reach as a first and last mile.
Absolutely. And I think as a region, you know, sort of this integrated and seamless payment system could be very much a piece of that. We've sort of dabbled with that a little bit in our region. I think we could expand upon that. And it's not just about the e-scooters and the e-bikes, but it's further expanding. RTA did some demos early on. Pace has kind of picked up the mantle and running with that in terms of some of that first last mile and some of their connective services, especially in the suburban areas. I think what we need to do is it's not one size fits all and recognize that, but then we need to be funding and providing easy ways for people to get not just access to that information, but access to a way to connect and actually pay for those services as well.
Great. Politics always factors in here. I know we've kind of touched on it a bit. I think the governor is a pretty important part of this equation. Where does the governor stand on this and its level of priority?
We obviously, and when I see the governor, there's not a time that he doesn't look at me and say, you know, what are we doing? Where do we stand? Obviously, we're going to work with his staff very closely and have worked with his staff as we have legislative staffs and in the mayor's office. You know, he's looking for a solution. He is obviously, I wouldn't say a major player. He may be the major player because in the end, whatever solutions Senator DeWitt and his colleagues come up with, the governor is going to have to sign. So the governor, I think, will be happy that we say no new revenue without reform. We've laid out the reform that I believe he's asking for. And I think, you know, with lots of discussions to take place between now and May, the governor and we will be in accord at the end. And we want his input. You know, we were on the phone yesterday with his, you know, with his chief transportation people. He has a new secretary of transportation who this audience in GIA will know very well from her time with the city as the city's commissioner of transportation. So, you know, we work with everybody that's out there. But obviously, Governor Pritzker is a major player here that we have to appease and get his input, and he has to feel comfortable with.
We've got to wrap up here, keep the trains running on time. But I'll give you a break on this, Leanne, and ask you, Chairman, former Senator, or just Kirk, could you just stick on politics for a minute? We're at the City Club. We can't get away from it. Let's talk. You've been heavily involved in Republican politics in the state for many years. There's been some changes lately. The party is changing. We plan to have a program here specifically on the future of the Republican Party. How do you see things playing out over the next, first of all, next 2 weeks with the new president, and then beyond that in this state politically?
It will be very interesting, to say the least. Great theater. My wife and I on Monday will be sitting in our Hinsdale home with popcorn watching hopefully an uneventful inauguration. I've always said, and Dan Cronin is here, you know, he's been a Republican county chairman. The state is not as deeply, you know, it's not as deeply blue as people think it is. That's not to say this isn't a Democratic state, because I used to say when I ran for office, you know, we're not Iowa. This is a state that has a great and super tradition with organized labor. We are a diverse population. I voted for the DREAM Act when I was in the legislature, and I'm very cognizant of if the Republican Party doesn't diversify, it's going to die. It's not dead yet. It's going to die. You know, Kathy Salvi is the new head. I'm sure you'll have her here as the Republican Party. She presents a very good image for the Republican Party statewide. John Curran, have him here. The Republican leader in the state Senate is from our area, former Cook County State's Attorney, former Illini football player, somebody who gets along well as a Republican with organized labor. So the Republican Party will probably not be for a while the major party in Illinois, you know, but it wasn't that long ago that the Republican Party was in control of Springfield. And it's not as deeply a blue state as Susana Mendoza may want it to be. But, you know, this is a Democratic state with organized labor. And, you know, one of the challenges of the Republican Party, because Dan and I live this as suburbanites in the Senate, is downstate is so different on many issues, socially, gun control, lots of issues, including economically. As I told you all today, the state's lion's share of the treasury comes from the six-county metropolitan area. So the Republican Party has its work cut out for us, but I'm confident they'll close the gap. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, so much more to discuss. We hope you'll come back. Leanne, we hope you'll come back as well. Thank you for joining us for this portion of the program. We do have a program coming up on the 30th with President Killeen from the University of Illinois system. He's got some really exciting things that he's going to be talking about, especially with regards to sustainability. So we hope you all join us for that. We're going to announce something pretty soon about a unique auto show event. We do like autos as well. You could take the train to the program, it may be at McCormick Place. So there's a lot to come and a lot more to discuss, a lot more transit-oriented discussions that we're committed to having here at the City Club. And we take all your ideas and we bring them to this stage. So please keep them coming. Please keep these action items are important for us to kind of go out there. And I'm not going to tell you what to do as City Club, but to make your voice heard, you are all making the city move forward. So hugely important. And thank you again, Chairman Dillard, and thanks all of you for being here today.
Thank you all.